Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys here on a Substitute Teacher Friday. Austin Bechtold producing behind the glass. It's a 1 o'clock hour, so that means we go out to the fan hotline where we find Bob Walk, former Pirates pitcher, current color commentator for the team. Bob, what's going on? How are you?
Hold on. I'm talking to Bob, actually, right now. Okay. Bob and I are chatting behind the scenes for a moment.
Well, Austin, he's supposed to be talking on the air, not to you personally. Look at this. The Limitless Wonder just takes our guest and decides to have a private conversation with him. And you, the listener, are robbed because of Austin's conversation.
There was an issue last week with trying to get Bob on the air that Bob was explaining to me. But I was going to tell Bob that I get a chance to, that I was out last week. I was on vacation.
So were you just telling Bob randomly about your vacation? What is going on here?
He was explaining what happened last week.
And then he told me that it wasn't really his fault because he wasn't even there. He was on vacation. It was somebody else that must not know what they were doing.
I got you. Very good. Well, Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Everything's good. Had a few days off, didn't have to go on the road trip, so I am refreshed, and I can't wait to get to the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, those Mets in town, very tough team to make heads or tails of. It seemed like they pitch it pretty well. They've got some home run hitters. They were winning for a while. Now they weren't, and now they're winning again. So what kind of challenge is this for the Pirates this weekend, first off? What do you know?
Well, as far as tonight, it is a pretty good challenge, a really tough one because of who they're facing. One left-handed pitcher, and that can mess us up sometimes, and a very good left-handed pitcher. He gets a lot of ground balls, and so it's going to be a little tough to score runs. And, I'm sure there's people home right now chuckling a little bit because it's always been tough for us to score runs.
It's been a chore, yeah.
That's what it is in this first game, and, we'll have to try and figure a way to get through it. But, the first half is over. It's been a really rough year to this point. Hopefully the second half we can play better baseball. But, it's also going to be looking at some of the guys that get, called up that maybe there's a few we haven't seen yet and making some decisions about them and figuring out how to get this thing turned around for next year. And of course, the biggest thing is the offense that's going to have to get quite a bit better than it's been. And, it's not a secret. Everybody knows it. And we have to move forward and see what we can do.
Bob, I'm glad we have you today. I've had something I've wanted to ask you in sort of a succession of questions about this, but O'Neill Cruz on Friday doesn't run after that ball. Donnie Kelly has a talk with him, and then Tuesday doesn't run out the double play, gets benched, whatever. From your perspective, what do you think might have happened there? And then do you think O'Neill got the message at this point? And then after that, I have a couple questions about a manager handling it that way. But just to set the stage, what do you think happened?
I think that the thing in center field, he was embarrassed, and why he didn't turn. And some guys, when they're embarrassed, they'll punish themselves by over hustling. Other guys just want to crawl into a hole, and I think that's kind of his temperament. And when he was talked to about it, for the rest of that game, and the couple other games, he was running really hard and like almost overdoing it. I know that there was that one play that was talked about where he ran in from center field and covered second base, even though there was no play at second base. He still ran all the way in and did that when there was this little rundown going on. So he really took it to heart at least for a couple of days, and you could see the difference out there. But he, since he's been in the major leagues, you've seen this. We have all seen it. that there are times where he just doesn't go hard. And now I know that, you know, he said that he thought there was two outs, and that's why, you know, he didn't run hard to first base.
I still want somebody running hard with two outs.
Well,
I didn't
understand
that.
You didn't let me finish. I agree with you 100%. What if the guy bobbles the ball and is only outs at first, and you're jogging down the line, and now he throws you out at first? So if there was two outs, what's the difference? You still run hard. And especially after you've been talked about, you've been called basically in and talked about your hustle. How can this happen 3 or 4 days later? That's not a good look at all, but it's something that he's going to have to fix. Cause I mean, he's always, been like this. A lot of times, if you watch after an end of an inning, he'll jog all the way maybe to the foul line and then just slowly walk in the rest of the way to the dugout. It's just, to me, it's not, I like to see, hustling and at least jogging while you're on the field. Nobody should be walking anywhere out there. It definitely bugs me, but it's not just Cruz. There's a lot of people in every game you see. All around baseball, on other teams, there are people that like to go out and just kind of walk here and there and go real slow. I don't know why, but that's something that's always bothered me, and it always will. I like to see at least a jog when you're coming on and off the field, and I don't care how many outs you think there is, you run hard to first base. I've played with a lot of Hall of Famers, and those guys would run hard to first base. I know that, Kutch is just, DH. He doesn't have to play the field anymore. But you very seldom see him run toward first base and then just kind of shut it down and sometimes stop. Like you'll see other guys will stop a couple steps and get the first. Kutch always runs through the bag. If he can do it, then sure as hell everybody else should be able to do it.
One of the things with O'Neill, Bob, and I don't know if this is relative to him not running balls out. This is just an O'Neill Cruz specific question. I don't think he's very good at separating offense and defense. Like if he's not feeling it at the plate, I feel like that goes out into the field with him. If he makes a play that he regrets out in the field, I feel like he takes that probably to the plate with him. In your experience, is that hard for a young player to learn how to separate the two of those, even at the major league level?
I think it probably is for a younger player. Some guys come natural to that, and they, if there's a player that sees his defense as being critical, then he is definitely going to separate those two, as he does not want, a bad defensive effort to affect the way he's hitting or vice versa. And you can see some of the, we have a couple of guys on the team that are younger guys. You know who they are. If you look at the batting averages, they're not doing anything. They're not hitting. But when they're on the field, they go as hard as anybody. They're not letting that 1-something batting average affect the way they're playing the game. Some guys do. And I don't know if that's the reason why you see, Cruz's hustle come and go. It's a possibility, but only he knows why that happens.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the offense, Bob, and more its impact on the pitching. I know it's been a season-long struggle to score runs, but I see a guy like Andrew Heaney the other day, and he's been on for so much of this season and then other games where it looks like he's maybe trying to do a little bit too much. As a pitcher, do you feel that when the offense isn't generating something, do you try to be too fine and maybe have there been times, and again, not making excuses for anything, where that has maybe, got into a pitcher's head where he's trying to work a little bit too hard and ends up paying the price?
Well, that when I was younger, that was part of the problems I had when I was a younger pitcher, and it wasn't necessarily because of the offense, so that wasn't it, but I was trying to be too good and too fine sometimes. It's just for my own reasons. Mm-hmm. And it would sometimes destroy me. And then afterwards, I'm sitting in the shower and I'm thinking, why did I do that? I know better. This, why did I try and not throw, strike this guy out and end up walking him? and then a blooper, and now a gap shot, and now I've given up two runs, and then inning later, I'm out of the game. These are things that when you're younger, you're always realizing when you're out of the game, that, like, I should have pitched to this guy different. It wasn't the guy that got the big hit off me. It was a guy I pitched to two hitters before that set up my problem, because I was not aggressive. I didn't go after the hitter. I tried to be too fine, tried to be better than I am. And that's like Heaney, I don't think at his age that he's going to ever fall into that. He knows what he is. He knows what he can do. And he's going to go out there and do his best to get that done. Younger pitchers, yeah, I could see that. I could see guys, you know, trying to be a little too fine, especially coming out of the bullpen. Because when you come out of the bullpen, you know, it's the middle part of the game, sometimes later in the game. Game's on the line. You don't have that game on the line feeling, or at least you shouldn't, you know, the first three or four innings, because there's still a lot of baseball to be played. But, you know, I know what your point is. Maybe they are getting into that feeling early in the game because they know that they might not get a lot of runs to work with. Well, that's shame on them if they're creating problems for themselves, because there's already a problem of us not scoring runs. Just makes it worse. They should be smarter than that.
No doubt.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pomp and Joe Show, Jason Mackey in for the guys. We're chatting with former Pirates pitcher and current color analyst Bob Walk. Bob, we were talking about this earlier in the show with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. It makes a lot of sense for them to trade him. I'm not saying if they will or they won't, but if they do, they're going to need a succession plan at shortstop, I feel like. Where would you look at shortstop if the Pirates need to fill that position?
You know, is there somebody in the organization right now that can play shortstop and give you any kind of offense?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to throw a couple names at me.
That was our answer, too. Alika Williams, yeah, you know, Jared Triolo, moving Nick Gonzalez over there. Those were our three.
Yeah, I mean, Nick could probably play shortstop, but I don't think he's a premier-type defender there. I think he's good at second base. I think that's where he probably needs to be, but he could certainly, as we know, hit good enough. I mean, he's always hit. You know, part of the problem this first half of the season, maybe because he was hurt so much, you know, broke his leg there on opening day, broke his ankle, whatever it was. You know, that's been part of the problem. You know, he's a pretty good RBI guy, and his bat certainly plays easily good enough to be a shortstop. But I don't know if he can handle it, glove wise. You know, I think if they thought he could, he would have already been over there. But I don't think I think they see him as a second baseman. But you know, I don't know about if you trade somebody. Yeah, what are you going to do? Who are you going to play there? You know, maybe in the wintertime you can go out and find a shortstop somewhere. But you know, right now, I don't see, you know, any. You know, maybe temporarily for the last 2 months of the season, you just bite the bullet and you just, you know, put whoever over there. If you can get something back that you really want for Kiner-Falefa, you could, I guess, do that. But it's not just his spot, too. Any place that you trade anybody from, you know, I agree with you. What's your succession plan? What's your long-term goal here as far as who's going to take that spot? Do you have somebody in mind? Is there somebody that you think another team would trade you for some pitching or something? You know, I mean, it's like a Rubik's cube a little bit. You know, there's a lot of different things that could be moved around different places. You might have already a deal in place to bring in, you know, somebody's AAA shortstop that is blocked in a different organization. You know, maybe that's the what's going on, but you know, we're not privy to any of that stuff, so it's hard for us really to come up with any answers as to, you know, what are you going to do. All we can see is what the 40-man roster looks like right now, and who maybe is in AAA or AA that's ready to make a jump for next season. You can speculate on those kind of things, but you know, no telling who's going to be on the team next spring training. We can't even guess at that right now. And you know, that's if you don't have Connor Falefa as your shortstop, you got to find somebody.
Bob Walk, thanks so much, man. Always a pleasure. See you at the park.
No problem. I'll see you down at the ballpark.
Bye-bye. Take care. He's the best. Bob Walk, Pirates analyst, former Pirates pitcher. You know Bob. He doesn't need any introduction from us. He's here every Friday at 1 o'clock. Always appreciate those chats. Only a little bit left with myself and Austin Bechtold here before we get out of the way for the PM team. Chris Muller and Donnie Chedrick in today. Want to take two calls, and then I have a fun topic that I want to kick around with Limits. The ESPYs are coming up in a couple weeks. Shane Gillis will host them. Olivia Babcock of Pitt will be honored, or maybe honored. She's one of the finalists for the best college athlete in women's sports, I believe is how they term it. But Shane Gillis will host. Limits, think about this during the break. Which Pittsburgh athlete, current or former, would make the best host of an award show? You don't have to answer now. Anybody listening, give it a think while we're in a break, and we're going to knock out two phone calls here, Ryan in New Jersey and Evan in the car. Ryan, you're first up, wants to talk about the Penguins rebuild. What's going on?
Jason, good to hear you on the radio. I love your perspective on the teams.
Thanks, man.
So I was listening. I was on delay, and I'm bored on the road today. So I was listening to you guys at the top of the show talking about the NHL draft and the Pens' needs and whatever. And I got to take Limit's side on this. They really need to blow it up, and I'm going to get drastic here. I said this to Pompeiani once, I think, on the weekend, too. I know Sidney Crosby is a great soldier. He's an all-timer. We've been blessed to watch. First off, the Pens fan base is 100% based on once-in-a-generation prodigies at this point. I know there's people still around to watch him in 1972 where you could hear the pages turning in the arena. But let's just assume that since 1985, it's all about having the two of the best five players on the planet, on the team, at all times. So the fan base is not going to downshift from that. I understand that. But, you know, they need to – basically what I'm saying is they need to not worry about Sidney Crosby at this point. I get it. I have nothing but respect for him. I don't want to treat him like, you know, the Lightning treated Stamkos or the Bruins treated Marchand or anybody like that. He's way better than both those two.
So, Ryan, but what does not worrying about Sidney Crosby mean?
I'm saying they're not going to compete for the next few years anyway. They're not if they go
okay,
back
but
to
what
the
do you want them to do? Do you want them to trade Sid or do you want them to just stick?
I certainly would never want them to force it on him. If he wants to play it out and stay for five more years, more power to him. But the best value for the Pens where they are is to kind of maybe open the table to him and say, listen, we stink, and if you want to go and put on another sweater, and we'll send you wherever you want to go, there are contenders that will line up for him to get number one high-end picks or whatever. You can package picks and get up and get another prodigy because that's kind of what the fans are going to expect and need. I just think that's a better service to him and to the team than trying to piece together like a six seed. I mean, Mike Sullivan killed the era. Let's be clear here. They killed the era with him throwing out in their 30 stars and say, "Hey, stars, do it, score for me," and they couldn't do it anymore. I just don't see them being that close. They have the 11th and 12th picks. This draft has got five or six good prospects at the top, and then it's garbage. I think that's why the Rangers sent their pick to him this year. Right. So this is just not the way. I mean, again, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thank you. I couldn't do that to Sid. I couldn't. I mean, he's earned more than that. Like, at this point, Sid has done what he's done in Pittsburgh, and what you're going to do is say, well, we're going to stink, so we'll trade you. That's our option. No. He wants to stay here. Sid has made that abundantly clear. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. Fix it for him here. It is possible. It is. Evan in the car wants to talk about Pirates and the at shortstop. What's going on, Evan?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to touch on that last caller real quick. I think that's interesting, an interesting take, but I would do that with Malkin and Letang and the others rather than him. So, I mean, they had their chance in the last 4 years to get rid, offload those contracts, you know, recoup, and they chose not to, and they're going to have to live with that.
Yes. What you got?
Thoughts on O'Neal Cruz and his engagement. I just, you know, obviously we all seen the clips, but with the Kiner Falefa possibly getting moved, do you ever turn him back into a shortstop and just call it quits at center field?
I would not. No, I would not, because I think he's bad at shortstop and he's bad in center field. I'd rather take him where he's currently
bad. Do you move him to DH?
No, I would not. I wouldn't punt on that.
His fielding's horrific and doesn't show any signs of getting any better. Do you trade him?
It does show signs of getting better. If you look at his defensive run saves and defensive metrics, they have improved. No,
yeah,
he had a bad
engagement isn't there.
What's that?
But his engagement also isn't there, so it leads to errors. So, you know, you're only going to get what you can out of him as a Pirate from what I'm hearing. So, I mean, at a certain point, when do you just let that loose and recoup what you can? Because
not now.
I mean,
I wouldn't trade him. I don't know. You're looking at me to say something different, but I wouldn't trade him and I wouldn't move him. I would work with him.
You keep him in center?
I would. Yeah. And I try to coach him and make him better. And the focus issues, I agree with you. They're a problem. And I'd bench him. I would have benched him on Friday night and I would have sent a message. And then the next day I would have sat down with him and had a long talk about how important he is to my team and how much I need the effort out of you. And I'll back you on the issues with learning center field and the nuance and the physical mistakes. I understand he's going to make physical mistakes. I don't expect him to be perfect, but I need him to run after a ball if he misses it. That's non-negotiable for me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right, Dustin and Carnegie, our last call, and then we're going to get to a break. Let's talk about the Penguins. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, Jason. I just want to say I agree with your position here with the Penguins. I don't think it makes sense at all to get rid of Rust or Rakell. I think people are overlooking how good that line was this year. Plus, I feel like we don't need to blow up the entire team right now just for one pick. Like, we all know the draft isn't that strong. And I also agree with you that I think there's still a little bit of a window. Will they win another cup? I think it's unlikely, but you can't get rid of everything you have. And there are points where that line was one of the best lines in hockey, and you know you don't just come across that all the time. So I think we can hinge on seeing Carlson being gone. I think they'll be able to do it. Pens are within the top 10 in cap space available. We can do a lot with that. I really don't see any advantage to getting rid of either of those, just to move up a little bit in this year's draft. You got a new coach. Put that out there with some of the new prospects coming in and see where you're at before you really make any drastic choices here.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, I'd at least give it a shot, man. It's no guarantee it's going to work, but it's at least trying it. They've got a lot of money. I hope they can do it. It's a tight needle to thread, certainly. I'd like to see them give it a try. I don't know if we will. We'll learn more about it this weekend. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line, it's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline, that's how we heard Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster. That's brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. One final segment with Austin Bechtold here on the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.